Rolene, a very good morning to you. Can you hear us?
Good morning. It's been ages. This doesn't bode well for my separation anxiety.
It's been way, way too long. I couldn't agree more. Rolene, apologies. We just had some issues trying to get hold of you. I'm not sure why. But so much to talk about. The one thing I don't want to talk about is if Israel's got a government or not. I don't want to know the progress. I want to know, do we have a government in Israel or don't we?
We don't. But I'm of the opinion, just lock them all in a room until they sort something out and let them out, preferably before May the 7th. Because if it doesn't get it together before May the 7th, we go to a fourth election on the 4th of August. But we do have one glimmer of hope. We have had a joint release by Likud and the Blue and White this morning saying that they are making progress. I think they've learned a brutal lesson from the president this week as well as the Israeli electorate. We're not going to stand for a fourth one. We've got enough on our plates to deal with Corona. Just get it together, please, for the sake of all of us.
So, well, my view is a bit different. Is I don't say lock them in a room. I say throw them out of the room. It's time to fire them. The fact that they have put the Israeli public and the Israeli voter through this for so long now shows they are totally incapable of setting aside their ego, and they are incapable of looking at the people of the country over their own selfish needs. And I say that is not, those aren't the people who should be governing. I think you throw out Netanyahu, throw out Gantz, and have a new election without them.
Absolutely. Well, we do have to say one thing for Benny Gantz is that he was prepared to split his party, which he did, to try and get a government together.
All right. So maybe then, are you saying that it's Netanyahu who's causing this impasse?
Well, one of the theories being bandied about is it is Netanyahu because he stalled and stalled and stalled until the end of the deadline. And this is one of the major criticisms against him is that, first of all, if you are going to tango with Prime Minister Netanyahu, you have all your ducks in a row because he is the master strategist. And perhaps for a rookie like Benny Gantz, you know, he got into a very intricate tank, you know, with the Prime Minister. But one of the frustrations that many of us feel is that Netanyahu did it and he did it and he did it and he did it. And it got to the point where we got to the deadline and unfortunately we didn't have a government or a situation or a resolution to this. Gantz did ask President Rivlin for a 48-hour extension and that was denied. But what was interesting is Rivlin's played the ultimate hand. He said that instead of handing over the mandate to Netanyahu because he didn't think that Netanyahu would be able to form a government, he threw it out to the Knesset and they know that they are going to have a very, very angry public if they don't get this nonsense together and get it together.
I'm sure they already have an angry public. Certainly, if I was a voter in Israel, I certainly wouldn't be particularly impressed with this type of behavior. All right, so let's talk about COVID-19. Certainly, there does seem to be some progress there, really.
First of all, we've significantly increased our testing.
Right.
So there has been a much larger amount of testing that has been carried out this week, despite the fact that we had a day of chag. So where we are at the moment, we're over 12,000, nearly 13,000 infections. We have 143 people who have sadly passed away. But we've also had a tremendous amount of people who have recovered. Now, at the moment, we are in discussions, and some details have been released to the public about the start of lifting of restrictions from Sunday. So while this is going to be quite slow and very, very methodical, and we still don't have final details, what we do know is that education for special needs students will open up. There's a lot of debate at the moment how schools will return. Will they be staggered? There is the possibility that kindergartens, grades 1 and grades 2 will go back to school on staggered schedules, but the older classes perhaps will finish the school year at home. Also a major concern for everybody around the world is the status of global economies. And what is being discussed is the possibility of opening certain industries, the tech industry, the finance industry, which includes banking, legal companies, and elements of the transport industry, as well as manufacturing and export. So this is so that we can start revving up the economy again. As far as stores, now what is interesting is that the other day the director of the health ministry said that maybe hairdressers and beauty salons could open because they can wear preventative gear. I mean, this of course is very important for many people. I, on the other hand, made sure my hair was done the day before.
Because you're responsible. You're a responsible citizen, right?
I am a responsible citizen, Howard, and you know I can't sit here in lockdown with a disastrous hair. That's certainly being discussed. However, there's also reports that no, it involves too much, you know, human to human contact, that perhaps now that would second wave. And also debating whether or not small stores that are street facing, so that aren't in closed off areas, can start opening to get people spending and get the economy going again. So it's going to happen in phases, and it is hoped a full schedule of flights will resume at least by September, that you know, the flights to open up, when they do open up, will be those to countries where we have major exports, etc. But we also have the issue on the other side, you know, the statistics on the other side. But let's have a look quickly at Israel's stats. We are at 12,758 confirmed cases. This includes those with full recovery. We have 181 people in serious condition, 143 who have sadly passed away, and major issues of concern are the ultra-Orthodox communities and some assisted living care facilities, where there have been quite a few deaths. There's an assisted living facility in Beersheba that we've had about 14 deaths, in a large area of concern. But we've also had, and it's a very, very important statistic, 2,818 people, including a 22-year-old who was in critical condition, including the worker from Ben Gurion Airport, who was also critical a few weeks ago, and including one of our very first patients, the tour bus driver, who've all made full recoveries. Amazing. And can we just give a shout out to our IDF, and especially to the Shayetet, that's the elite unit belonging to the Navy, who've figured out a way to use their oxygen tanks as respirators, and they're rolling those out. So Israeli ingenuity in the best possible way.
Incredible. Talking about incredible, this is just my favorite story. It's got nothing to do with Israel whatsoever, but I think it would be irresponsible not to talk about our favorite old captain.
Oh, can we just, I mean, this is the man of the week.
This is the man of the week. No,
What's very interesting is we've seen two over 90-year-olds inspire the world over the last 2 weeks. First of all, Her Majesty the Queen, and that magnificent address that she gave, which I think brought a lot of us comfort when she said we will meet again. And then another astounding man. You know, my husband sent me a link a couple of days ago. He said, you know, you love old people, you're going to love this guy. And it was Captain Tom. Mm-hmm. And he was on £350,000, and you and I were talking about, isn't he phenomenal? So let's just tell our listeners a little bit about Captain Tom. And what tickled me this morning as a royal fundy was the fact that Prince William has given an undisclosed amount to Captain Tom's campaign and has sent him letters. And I thought, I thought, that's quite lovely, because there's somebody who could be very much in the front line, you know, making it all about what he is doing to help with the efforts, but he's decided to give that money to the well-deserving Captain Tom, who's now on £15.5 million raised for the UK's NHS. And he's making headlines here in Israel. In between COVID and unity government, we have Captain Tom Watch.
But it's interesting how he has captured the imagination of people around.
Well, you know, it's extraordinary, because here is a man, a decorated war hero, just watching him in his very smart navy blazer with his polished medals, and his intention was to raise £1,000 to say thank you to the NHS.
But you know what, Kathy Kaler listening says such a clever thing. She says, it's funny how coronavirus has made celebrities redundant. They just aren't relevant anymore. And you see this type of person who was probably lived a very quiet life. I mean, he has done extraordinary things maybe in his time because he was a war veteran, etc. But he is relevant. No, the celebrities as we know them just aren't.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is turning ordinary people into extraordinary people. You know, you've had Sam Smith, you know, having an epic meltdown because his mansion is just too difficult to isolate in. There's Black China, who's as lucky as Zed, the celebrity, crying because she can't live without her team. Ellen DeGeneres as well, saying that being in her mansion feels like prison. And here you have a 99-year-old man doing 100 laps of his garden, not all in one, at one time. I mean, yesterday I was crying buckets when I saw a guard of honor from the Yorkshire Regiment, which is where he's from, a guard of honor as he completed his final 10 laps. And he says that as long as people need it, he will keep on walking. And he turns 100 at the end of the month. And there's already a campaign to try and have him knighted. And nobody deserves that more than he does. But he says his real concern is nobody's thanked the Queen for all her hard work. And someone really needs to send her a card, Howard.
Oh, Zanati, please will you take that on? I can't do everything around here. Please will you send the Queen a card? Just to
I will, and you know, I'm in tears, man.
I know,
like,
Zanati,
oh my gosh.
Sitting here with tears in her eyes. Like, how beautiful is the story?
It really is. Oh my goodness, I still have tears left over from
really
A Star Is Born.
To see the NHS workers last night.
No,
last night holding up signs saying thank you, Tom.
I mean, it's an extraordinary amount of money.
Them, they were saying thank you, Captain Tom.
Unbelievable.
And he keeps on climbing up.
Unbelievable. And I think thanks really, to Pierce, people like Pierce Morgan as well. And interesting, talking about celebrities, like, he's one of them who's been very vocal around COVID-19, how the UK's been dealing with it, and he helped put the captain on the map as well. So there is a, you know, I think where we're seeing it is celebrities that are prepared to roll up their sleeves, get involved and do good. We are seeing relevance. They will be relevant. Those that, as you say, sit in their palatial homes saying, you know, COVID-19 affects all of us the same. It knows no. You know, I love that. I mean, it's such a load of crap. You know, somebody sitting in a shack in Khayelitsha with six people in a tiny place with no facilities. No, they are not suffering the same as Ellen DeGeneres is. They are absolutely not.
More money, more problems, Howard.
Run, it's true. It's true. Yeah, so I just I think it's absolutely fascinating. Raleen, we do have to leave it there. Unfortunately, it is 8:01. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. Stay healthy. Stay safe. And we'll catch you next week. Apologies that your news is slightly late.